Okay, there on page 3, I gave you that Hosea citation up there at the top of the page. Scripture has to make sense. He will revive us after 2 days. That's 2 millennia. And it doesn't have to be a full right down to the day to make 2,000. You know, like if you're putting $2,000 on the table, it doesn't have to, you know, if there's 10 missing, this is still after 2 days. So this is the after 2 days. Well, we're running this up way up there. Now, of course, the question is, where you date this from? I would date it from the final dispersion, the third dispersion of 70 AD. So you add 2,000 to that. You don't have to have the full 2,000. You just a part of a day counts as a whole day. I said that in the first session. He will raise us up on the third day. That's the millennium, using resurrection language, and establish Israel according to the prophecies that say how they will flourish under the Lord. The 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes. That's their SG3 for the millennium package. And Israel will be the top nation in all the world. And the other two are Assyria and Egypt. And of course, you're in the millennium, so you're not having to deal with all this criminality that has embedded itself in governments and in a financial system and all the false religions running over the face of the earth. You don't have none of that. It's forbidden. It's going to be God's righteousness is going to rule. His institutions are going to thrive. But this trinity of nations, Israel is the crown jewel, and then Assyria of all people, and Egypt. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. The book of Hosea is an interesting read, to say the least. Another prophet who had, you wouldn't say, a pleasant assignment. I want you to marry a prostitute. What? Now, I don't know if this woman, what I'm thinking is that this woman wasn't one when he married her. But he knew. See, the woman is going to illustrate Israel. The woman goes out and does her thing, is a prostitute, and the prophet isn't with her, obviously, during this extended period. They are still technically married. He might have gave it some kind of a divorce thing. That's probably in there. Yeah, divorce was in there. They weren't technically married. They were divorced. And she's out here doing her thing. Well, she comes to a sad end. She is so destitute as a result of this lifestyle that he finds her at a sale where they're selling humans. And you know what God has him do? Buy her. Put down cash and get her and take her home. Now that's a pretty graphic illustration of how far down into the dirt the Jews have gone with their negative volition. And then he brings her back and she's revived and they end their lives happily ever after. This, I got to shake his hand. Boy, you did that? That's a sacrifice you made? In order to illustrate Israel going away from God and coming back? It's amazing book. The Jonah one's fun too. But read in there what some of these prophets had to do. Some of the play acting they had to go through. We'll call this play acting. This is going to be an illustration of my history with Israel. She's playing the whore. Yeah. When she went after false gods. I'm her husband. We were married at Sinai. She agreed to the marriage. It wasn't like I forced her into it. God doesn't force people into things. He gives them free will. They make their choices. So that we have a whole book that deals with this. There's other things in it, obviously. But that's the background to the prophet's life. And God refers to these men in Old Testament times, the truants, my servants, the prophets. Because see, they were always sent out into hostile environment. I'm in a hostile environment. I'm in the cosmos, okay? But I'm not, and I have had to deal with hostile believers in this church. Or upset. I've had to deal with that. But people out here, you know, I don't have to deal with them other than just real casually. I don't go out and try to convince them that this is where they need to be. I don't send out flyers and go door to door. What a joke. They come to my door, want me to go to a church down here, has the same name as ours except has Baptist in it. We're going to cook a whole pig. Why don't you come? We're going to have cowboy day. Well, I don't have any boots, so I don't think I'll come. This is what they do. I can always say, I'm the pastor right here. Fine. I treat them nice enough, but see, it's like salesmanship. It's like door-to-door salesman. You don't do this with the gospel. You know, I don't have a problem with people in other places in certain cultures evangelizing. Go to a park and set up a deal and proclaim the gospel, like they do in Togo sometimes. Or they do village ministries. That's a country on the coast of West Africa. It's called Togo. Guys, picture in some of the pictures of those believers there on the bulletin board who found me online way back in the day. Way back in the day for me is around after 2000. He found me online. He was a Baptist and he liked it. He worked in a university, a British university. So pray for them. Pray for a good British name, Vincent Thomas. He's in southern India. And one of our members ran into him on an oil rig out in Oman. And when we had our old cassette tapes, you know, dropped one of those on him. He took them and listened to him. He came back and said to him right to his face, that man speaks the truth. And he was a Christian already. He was in the Reformed part of a Reformed church, which basically is Calvinistic. That God just picks certain people and the rest of us are all, you know, SOL. Isn't that pitiful? You don't deal like, if you're a normal person, you don't deal that way with other people. Everybody gets to step up on the same starting line. Make it or not. You don't do respecter of persons. God didn't pick certain people and the rest of us can go to hell. I don't serve anybody like that. And they teach this. He said, I got delivered from that when I got on Bible Doctrine. I imagine there are thousands of people that have visited our website. Thousands of people that have heard these things. But there's no commitment. They're content with their whatever they're doing. So all we have no control over who's positive. We only have control over our message and the presentation of that message. Gradual worldwide immigration from the nations. It's a real big deal. Now, sometimes it's just a little trickle. Sometimes you don't hear anything. And then sometimes, boom. They say they think because of the upsurge of anti-Semitism in America, out on the streets, vandalizing, buildings, threatening people who were Jews. All out there with their supporting an anti-Semitic organization, if there ever was one. That teach their little ones from day one to hate Jews, and we're going to kill them. And we're going to get rid of that country. It's an ideology. And here we got it in the United States. A bunch of dummies that they went over there, they'd kill them. You know, a bunch of these gay activists are out there with their banners. They will kill you. You cannot practice any of that in that country. They will kill you instantly. They'll take you to the highest building and throw you off of it if you're gay. You got it? But these stupid people don't know anything. They're just, when you're in a mob, you give your mentality and your volition over to the mob, and you quit thinking for yourself. And behavior ought to illustrate who's wrong. The kind of behavior that blocks parades, Macy's parade, that throws red paint representing blood on the White House gates and stuff. I mean, America of old wouldn't have put up with that. Of course, they wouldn't be doing it. They figure they'd get shot. Get off of the streets or you're dead. You can't go running up and down the streets, burning buildings, attacking people's business. If you're doing it, you are legitimately a person that can be brought down. No normal, healthy civilization puts up with that crap. Period. I'm all for law and order and due process and all that business. But when they're out there setting fire to buildings and cars and breaking out windows and stuff, there's a group of them that was outside in the woods, outside in Georgia, their big city, outside the city, and they are advocating, and all the literature online, all this, kill policemen. And the head guy is a transsexual, whatever that is. And they went out there to get him, and they got him. They told him to surrender. He wouldn't, fired some shots, and they gunned him down. And he's advocating of his group going into the city, burning police cars, doing mayhem. It's a war. You declared war. You ought to be destroyed. They don't have the firepower. What they got? But they can cause a lot of damage. But we have become so liberal that we will not act as we ought to against this kind of evil. We have come down to a very degenerate state. Even this new, they call him right winger, this Johnson guy that's now been promoted there in the Senate, Speaker of the House, he says we're degenerate and that God's wrath's going to fall because we openly promote what we shouldn't even have in a discussion about. The kind of stuff that ought to happen over in a corner somewhere, but it's out in the open. So God, if I'm right and I am, God is not mocked, not successfully. There's a reckoning coming. The nations, people—they're mocking God. They're mocking His divine institution of marriage, among other things. And this is the pathway to destruction. Of course, this guy who's an evangelical Christian, he doesn't know the U.S. and prophecy, obviously. But we do. We know the end game. We have become a den full of every unclean bird and spirit. And a lot of this stuff you can attribute to demonism, straight up demonism, that these people have bought into. Open Satanism, all of it. It's out there. I think my grandson told me, well, there's a boy, he comes to school in high heels and puts makeup on in class. Really? Well, you get to see it. Now, who's the bad guy here? The parents. The parents. All right. Zechariah 2, 6 and 7. Hey there. That's the word. Ho. Ho there. Hey there. Flee from the land of the north. That's Russia. It's narrowed down. Everybody isn't the land of the north. And if you go straight up from Jerusalem and you head due north, you'll hit Moscow. Pretty much. If not exactly. The Jews live an uneasy existence in Russia. So I saw numbers on it. They have an estimate of how many Jews live in the country of Russia. Declares the Lord. And then the man, for I've dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. Hey, Zion. A term for corporate Israel is their capital, Mount Zion. So, hey, Zion is addressing the Jews, not a place. That's the place that's the capital city of Israel, which they gained in a war in 67 when they pushed Jordan out of there. The Jordanians got them back on the other side of the river. The Jordanians and that bunch over there, they're the descendants of Lot, Moabites and Ammonites. Try to keep track of all the descendant down as it's filtered down through history. So Zion, the place, the capital, escape you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. That's America. So we got Russia and America here. It's got to be a specific place. It's not just the world in general. It's a specific land of the north and the Babylon analogy. For thus says the Lord of the armies. I always translate that armies because there are angelic armies, human armies, and He is the Lord over all the armies. He's even the Lord over the Hamas army. He's the Lord over it. Not that He's directing them to do this. It's just that he's got sovereignty over the nations. All authority has been given to Him. And when He gets ready to pull the plug on them, and He will, they'll all go down. Because they are in direct violation of those that curse you, I will curse. Abraham. And those who bless you and your descendants, I will bless. Now, yes, I recognize there are some really bad Jews out there. In bad organizations. A lot of countries have mafias. Irish mafia. Jewish mafia. Of course, Italian. Yeah. And there's Jews that are, you know, very corrupt. And so this is what happened with conservatives that are otherwise unbiblically informed. They turn against the Jews because Jews, they control everything. They run this, they run that. Yes, it's called the uncleanness of the Jews among the nations. And they're in all different kinds of categories, just like Gentiles are. There's bankers, there's the Rothschilds, these types. And then there's those out there that say they're Jews and aren't. That's interesting. They call them, this one guy read after, I take it with a grain of salt, he calls the ones in Ukraine the Khazarian Mafia, the Khazars. Go study the Khazars. The Khazars were pagans out there in that part of the world and decided one day, there's a storyline. I can't go into all of it. They decide one day, we'll declare ourselves Jewish. Who will practice Jewish things. But you're just Gentiles. Those who say they are Jews and are not. So you got that out there. They say that's a really big deal. This Khazarian mafia. And they realized they had to control banking. The money systems of countries. And look at what that's done to us. $33 trillion in debt. Usury. The Bible forbids it. I didn't get that in an economics course when I went to college. I took basic economics. The closest I got was a book called Robber Barons. Early American entrepreneur, railroad guys, all their dirty tricks and stuff. But the ones that's a really bad one is this Federal Reserve System that we were saddled with in 1913 during the Wilson administration. And that's when we got the federal income tax. All that. I saw a quote from Lenin, the communist. He was Jewish, by the way. He says, this is what we have to do. We have to destroy the bourgeoisie. That's called the middle class. The middle class is key to a healthy civilization. And we'll do it by taxation and inflation. What is inflation? Reducing the buying power of the dollar, which is just a piece of paper that says it should be backed by gold and silver, which it once was. Nixon took us off the gold standard. Yeah, conservative Republican. They're all in on it, to one degree or another. Don't trust any of them. I wouldn't. But I'm told not to put my trust in men and look for some savior to come along and straighten this country out. You might buy us some time, but you're not going to change this picture, because you can't change the souls of people. You could eliminate something, maybe. Like an invasion of mass immigrants coming across borders. Well, that's another way to destroy a nation. They're really struggling with this in Ireland. They're in open revolt over there against all the immigrants that have been brought in. And the Irish are taken to the streets and are violent in Dublin and other places. All these blacks that came up from Africa. And I have nothing against a person's skin color, but they all come up from Africa and they come into France raping and carrying on. This is, the nations have gone mad. They've lost their minds. It's the natural process of rejection of truth and all the rest of it. So, excuse me. For thus says the Lord God of the armies, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. The word apple is really technically pupil. That's one part of your body you want nobody touching because of its sensitivity. And more on it. God, Israel is going to come to the top. So gradual worldwide immigration has to do with, in the Zechariah passage specifically, has to do with the U.S. and Russia, and also these others. I won't look up. We've done it. You've definitely got the idea. But what I wanted to bring out today is that it's really prolific in the Old Testament. Moore and I, it just dawned on me, the constant references to it in the Old Testament. Psalm, subject to songs. Psalms are songs, right? Get there. Psalm 137. Find it here. Okay. Here's by the rivers of Babylon. This is the Jews in the first dispersion. Okay? They're traumatically pulled out of their country. Many of them died along the way. But they're the survivors. By the rivers of Babylon. By the way, when the Jews got taken into this captivity, they never went back to their idolatry of the pagans. When they got put in the midst of it, they didn't embrace it. They only embraced it when they were in their land. That's why they got evicted the first time, and the first and second times. But this is about the second time. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. It's in the this thing about going back to Israel, it's in the Jewish DNA. It's buried in there. A Jew, full-blown citizen of whatever country, they're not where they need to be. Especially now. They need to be back in Israel. Well, first of all, they could become a Christian and become a believer. Yeah. But short of that, they need to be back in their land. And that was one of the features that was brought out to me in 1999 when we went to Israel. The Jews from the different nations. I just ran into them. American ones, British ones. I didn't run into Russian ones, but they were there. Ethiopian and on it goes. Spanish. Upon the willows, in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth. Do something. Say something. Do something funny for me. You're a good comedian. Come on. We've had some good Jewish comedians in our history, I recall. Jack Benny. Remember him? Three Stooges. They're Jewish. Those shows were hilarious. Brenda didn't like them, but I thought they were great. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. See, they're rubbing it in. This psalm is telling what we experienced. Those believing Jews who were in Babylon, they were being tormented by the native Chaldeans or whatever. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem. This is the psalmist here. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief pleasure, whatever that is. This is a song about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, when this, in the background of this, Jerusalem is there in ruins. The city is in ruins, uninhabited except for maybe, you know, passerbys and animals. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom. Edom is the Hebrew word for red. Esau, the twin, he had that red colored skin, ruddy, or whatever they call it. Remember the two boys when they were born? They were they looked like they came from two different places. They were complete opposites physically, except they were males. Esau was hairy, had a lot of body hair. Jacob was smooth, skinned. It's interesting. One woman, one pregnancy, and produces these two. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, when the Babylonians were taking it down, what was the blood brother relatives of Jacob saying? Raise it. Raise it to its very foundation. That's the mentality. That anti-Semitic mentality is what you have down there in the Palestinians. Not just the Hamas monsters. These are the ones that are schooled in this from knee high. Hate Jews. You bring kids up that way? I mean, if you bring kids up that way, you create this and it's just passed on. Not that an individual can't break from it, because I got this one guy, he's moved to the United States, he's a Palestinian. His father was one of these top Hamas honchos. He turned to Jesus Christ. Good for him. So all that was against him is off his head. He'll never come under wrath for the years that he was into this anti-Jewish thing. He just woke up. And he got the hell out of Dodge. He came to the United States, where he'll be raptured out of here if he stays here. I don't know his name. I saw it in that Israel in the News deal. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one. I think these things somehow shift. I've never got complete. How blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you've repaid us. I wonder how much Jewish suffering in Israel is a result of American involvement in the Middle East. God knows. He's got a perfect, his court got a perfect, all the perfect stuff. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones. That's when they did this country. They pick up these little babies and they grab them by the ankles and smash their head in a wall. The enemy. What a way to end a song. Hey, can we sing this on Sunday? These are all songs, you know. And they performed them at different times in their deal. But see, they deal with a hardcore reality. They don't gloss over stuff. This is the reality of the angelic conflict we're into. And a lot of it is not pretty at all. It's ugly. But the Lord is going to clean it all up. And if you're out there listening, you start by believing in Jesus Christ and praying for wisdom. Get me spiritually as far along as I can get. If you get on track spiritually, and even if you're a latecomer, okay, that's fine. It's better to be a latecomer and get your crown than been here for 30 years and blow it. That's got to be a kind of a hard one to take. Oh, I was there for 30 years, and I went belly up in the tank. I've seen enough of that. I'm tired of seeing it. Well, maybe I haven't. Maybe God knows. All right, I'll see you. Always, we keep everyone posted by text if there's for any reason we have to shut down and not have class due to weather, etc. You know that by now. And if you're not on the deal, you can always call and ask if you have a question. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit continue to bless our understanding and protect us from the incredible evil that's around us. In Christ's name, amen.